as he keeps.
This is Prophecy Keepers Radio, coming to you worldwide on the internet. Visit prophecykeepers.com today.
Well, hello everybody, this is your old buddy Blue Otter, coming to you from an undisclosed location in the Rocky Mountains, if you know what I mean. Our special guest this evening is getting to be an old friend of mine, and old in donkey years, you know. She's younger than I am in most ways, but let me...
Older than dirt.
Before I introduce you, Shauna, we take just a minute. The mission statement for the White Roots of Peace Council through Prophecy Keepers Foundation is to fulfill the wishes of the Hopi, Cherokee, and Iroquois White Roots of Peace gathering elders of the 1950s and 60s in sending their prophetic messages around the world to establish peace throughout the worldwide realization of our ancient common global relatedness. And I'd also like to put in a good word for our sponsor. We've got a fascinating book that sponsors us, and rather than go into it right now, I'd like to give it a little bit better treatment at the end of the show, because we have not really been given our sponsor enough attention. So anyway, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Shoshana. How are you this evening?
I'm doing pretty well, given that I can't talk and my nose is stuffed up and I got a horrendous sinus headache and I've been coughing all day. But other than that, I'm just fine.
Well, you know, that's why they call us elders. You know,
we have to learn how to pop up over all these dumb things. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah. I know what you've been through. Been through the last 3 weeks or so. Folks, I'm not going to do a lot of talking during this show. Shoshana's got some really important stuff to share with you, so I'm going to shut up right now.
Oh, my. Well, I guess I'm going to start at the beginning here, which goes way back to the first part of October, when I received an email from Humbutsman, the Mayan daykeeper down in the Yucatan in Mérida. An email was talking about a workshop that he was doing in November, and I thought, gee, there are a couple of people in my circle that might want to know about this. That, you know, just that it's happening. God forbid anybody would even think of going. You know, that never occurred to me. At any rate, the one thing led to another. I had sent it out on a Thursday, and Friday morning I got a call from a friend in San Jose who said, we're going, and my boyfriend's going to pay your plane fare. And I'm like, what? I said, honey, that's real so sweet of you. I just really am appreciative, but I need, you know, money to cover dog sitting for 15 days and can't go unless I stop in Los Angeles and see my grandbaby. You know, it's a real nice idea, but I don't think so. Following day, I got a call from other friends who said, we're going. Or we think we're going. And I said, what? And they said, well, we really think that we ought to go. We're going to meditate in the morning, and we'll get back to you. They called me back about 10 o'clock the following morning and said, we've never gotten such a big yes in a meditation. We are going, and what name is it that you use when you get checks to help you do things? And I said, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we're sending you the money to get you up and out of there to go. Well, no passport, no, you know, I had to do things really fast. And on the 1st of November, I flew to L.A. I spent a week with my son and my new grandbaby, his wife, and my new little granddaughter. And on the 8th of November, my friend met me from San Jose in Mérida, and we went to the hotel with the driver who announced that we got in about 11 o'clock at the hotel, and he announced that he'd be picking us up at 5 in the morning to go out to the Humbutsman ceremonial grounds called Lowell Bay, the L-O-L-B-E, where he would be doing ceremony and depositing Robert Ghostwolf's ashes in the crypt that had been prepared for that purpose. a crypt prepared for the teachers of the world. Well, 5 o'clock in the morning, there we were. We got into the car, and on, just as an aside here, I have pictures of the chemtrails at 5 o'clock in the morning in the Yucatan. All right, that's something else again. At any rate, we rode the hour and a half out to Lowell Bay, down through little tiny villages and jungle and all kinds of neat things along the side of the road, and came onto this beautiful ceremonial grounds where Humbert's men and several of his people were waiting for us. We went immediately to the top of the T, which is the Mayan used the letter T in a platform as part of their ceremonial for their ceremonial grounds, and they had an altar set up where we placed wolf ashes, and Hunbutz looked at me and said, "Did you bring a picture?" And I had, and I reached in my bag and handed it to him, and he just caught his breath and stood there and looked at it for the longest time and sat it down on the altar. And he began the ceremony with a beautiful eagle feather fan, and he used water, and he had me carry the... He led a procession down a long roadway that goes to a structure that is built like the sun door of the pyramid at Chichen Itza. It's an archway with a little flat on the top and down, and he's built this beautiful small pyramid, which we walked down the pathway to this structure, walked up the stairs and through the archway and down the stairs on the backside, down another long graveled walkway into the ceremonial grounds, where we circled, walking three times around the circle. And when we finished our three times around the circle, this whole time, Hunbut is playing this little instrument. It's a little drum that has a stick sticking up in it. And when we get the pictures up, Otter, on the website, people will see this. It's on the altar along with Wolf's picture. And this tiny little instrument, he uses a little piece of sponge, which he dips in a little bowl of water, and he just runs the little sponge up and down this little stick attached to the drum, and it makes little chirping noises like the birds. Well, as we were walking around the circle, and he is making this little instrument make its little chirping sounds, all of a sudden, birds came from everywhere. The whole ceremonial grounds was filled with the chirping of the birds from, my God, probably from miles. Hold on just a moment. And of course the sun was just coming up, so I thought it was our energy, Otter. I thought it was us that made this happen. But as we are circling around the circle, all of a sudden all the flowers on the bushes opened up, and I thought it was our energy. Well, really, it was just the time of day when the flowers are supposed to come back open. But it was just beautiful. I mean, we walked into the ceremonial grounds, and everything was green, and all of a sudden everything was white and red and orange and beautiful colors of flowers hanging from the bushes. All exotic, of course. Just incredible. As we came back up around the circle and came back up over the stairway of the little pyramid from the backside, Hunbut's man had the people, the rest of the people, go on down the stairs in the front. And he had me wait with him on the top step and hand him the urn with wolf's ashes. There are two holes in the floor of the platform on top of this little structure. The hole on the left, as you're facing it, is a circle. The hole on the right is a square. The hole on the left represents the physical, the circle, and the hole on the right, the square, represents the physical. And that's true in all of the Mayan glyphs and all of their teachings and what have you, in the structure of their language. they had strung a rope from the spiritual side underneath the platform floor over to come up out of the other hole, the spiritual side. And Hunbutz took a rope and wrapped it around the urn. I had brought with me a little piece of a blanket that Wolf had used in a little sweat lodge that Grandfather Martin the Hopi had done ceremony with him, using this blanket as a wraparound as they did a little healing ceremony for him when he first got hit by lightning. And I'd cut a corner of that blanket off and brought it with me to protect the urn in my bag. And Hunbutz asked me if I had something that we could wrap the urn in, and I said, of course. I ran and got it quickly, handed it to him, and he wrapped the rope around the top of the urn. He tied it, and he lowered the urn down down the physical side in the circular hole, while the other end of the rope was being pulled across so that they could bring that urn to the center and then carefully lower it to the ground inside the crypt, which they did. And then both of them, both Hunbutz and his helper, cut off the ends of the ropes, and the ropes just slid right down into the crypt. There was such a release of energy, I cannot tell you. It was not sadness. It was total joy. It was a feeling of freedom. It was a feeling of letting go, of total joyfulness, you know, wings flapping and all of that. As we stood there, Hunbutz once again picked up his little instrument, and we came down the stairs and what have you. We began to head back toward the altar. And from way far off, my God, I cannot tell you how far off, came the cry of the wolf dogs from the jungle. There are no wolves in the Yucatan. And
whoa.
And yet here are these, hello! The wolf calls came. And we knew that it was done. That Wolf had been placed where he needed to be and allowed freedom via ceremony with someone who knew how to do that. And I want to read just a little tiny thing to you here. On the Mayas, themayas.com, there's a page called Warriors of Light. And it's a page where Hunbutz is offering to the teachers of the world and the leaders of the world to bring have their ashes brought to be placed in the crypt there. And he says the warriors of light are those spirits willing to fight even beyond this third dimension. Excuse me. They will be in charge of reopening the gate to other dimensions that has been banned by the third dimension modern society. They will also be in charge to exterminate the evil spirits that prevent humankind from evolving spiritually. Those evil spirits, which were created by the Inquisition during the Dark Ages, stop the evolution of our planet Earth, too. In order to reach our spiritual evolution, we require the teachings from our Father Son, who is going to show us the path of wisdom. On this new pathway, only our Father Son and his seven brothers will be able to help our spirits evolve to higher levels or dimensions. In order to reach that dimension where our master teacher, Paco Votan, is found now as one of the favorite children of the eternal Hunabku. Our warrior spirit, already released from its material body, will be able to be anywhere it wants, as for instance in a flower, in a tree, in the heart of a jaguar, an elephant, or in the heart of our Mother Earth. We will be in those beings as purity as the divine essence of the cosmos. We will be able to be here and there, near and far, wherever. We will be the divine essence manifested and turned into the most sacred of the Maya. This way we will go back to Hunabku in order to serve him. And I believe that we've allowed Robert Ghostwolf and all that surrounds him that opportunity now. I feel sad, I feel lonely, I feel honored to have known him and to have shared so many hours with him. And so many days and so many months. And yet I feel like I only knew, you know, a little thumbnail's worth, because as I go through his files and go through the boxes and boxes and tapes and of tapes and things, I realize that there was so much more.
Be sure to keep your volume up, Sheila. Also, having problems with your phone, we might have you switch off at the break.
We might have to switch off to a different phone?
Yeah, when you're talking, there's a lot of background noise. I don't know if Don's catching it or not, but anyway, just keep your volume up, and it'll...
Hold on, let me see if there's more volume on here. That's as far as it'll go. Is that better?
Yeah, just keep your volume up, because... Anyway, go ahead. Keep going.
Okay. I think that's about all for that part, except... I have many images, I have many pictures and what have you, and I'll put together a website, a web page for his website and for Prophecy Keeper's Otter. I'll put pages together for you to post.
We'll say eventually that people can just go to robertgrosswolf.com.
Right, and click on the
and
memorial.
And there'll be a huge website, all kinds of beautiful pictures.
Oh, my God, yes.
And I was just contacted by a gentleman from Toronto, who was an old friend of Hoonbot's, and he sent some really nice pictures. There was one of Hoonbot's, he was like in an NFL jacket. He looked so cute.
Well, you know, our teachers are real people, too.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we sometimes deify some of these people in the truth of the matter is that their spirit is deifiable, but their personage, their personality, their personal itties are just like us. You know, they're just like us.
Heaven knows, guys like me and Ghost Wolf are to be cantankerous and unpredictable. And
not
can,
you, Otter.
We can whine when we don't get our own way. And
oh my, honey. Well, you know, certainly not Wolf.
Not much.
No. Well, you know, one of the things that I know for myself is that I can just be as cantankerous as the world. The day is long. If I'm attempting to put something together that where I have to access other realms of consciousness that I normally don't carry forward in my day's work. If I have to go into other little corners of my knowing and attempt to bring information out that I know is sitting in there somewhere, but I got to go looking for it in the old records, you know, and somebody interrupts me, man, they best be having a Teflon suit on because...
Oh, yeah, Rolling Thunder. When Rolling Thunder let you in his yard, the first thing he said is, two rules, don't interrupt me and... No kids. He says, I love kids, but he says, they'll ask me a question, and 9 years later, I'll get back around to where it was. He says, I've got a normal routine, so just don't interrupt. You know?
Right.
Well, everybody got along fine with RT as long as they obeyed the two rules.
You know, I would come trundling up the steps in our house in New Mexico, and halfway up the stairs, I'd be talking to Wolf, saying, you know, honey, I'm just coming up to see what you ran for dinner, or did you know that? And you know, he'd be out there somewhere trying to, you know, put chunks and pieces of ancient history together and keep track of dates and names that he'd never seen before and images that went with everything, and in the meanwhile writing a book, which brings me to the book that he wrote. In 2003, he handed me a disc, and he said, here's Twilight of the Gods. He said, get it edited for me. And I said, okay. And I went trundling off to Atlanta. I was gone for 7 months, and I didn't get back until Christmas time. And when I came back, I had not worked on the book at all. The computer had crashed there. I mean, I was in a mess in Atlanta. And I laid the disc down on the table, and I said, you know, I'll get around to it. And he kept saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, in November, I think it was November 13th, it was after that, December something, 2005, just before he passed away on December 21st, just before he left for California, he brought that disc back to me, and he said, there, now it's done. I put the last chapter on. The last chapter of the rest of the Hopi Thunders. He had published up until that time, he had published the first 9 Thunders. And this book goes up to 14 Thunders, this chapter. These are the Hopi prophecies that have not yet been published. And after I heard him when when the Hopi came to do ceremony with him after he got hit by lightning, I heard him ask them if it was okay to go ahead and post the rest of the Thunders. And they said, yeah, it's okay. Yeah, well, it's time. But that wasn't good enough for me. I couldn't publish the book without their personal, without their being willing to stand behind it. So when I called them and asked them to come to pick up some of his ceremonial gear and his medicine pieces, some of his medicine pieces, teepees and all of those things, I sat them down and I gave them a copy of that chapter and I said, you know, are you willing to be the one that people come to now because Wolf is not going to be here to run interference? And they said, oh, yeah, it's okay, go ahead. We told Wolf it's okay. And I said, oh, no, not good enough. And they looked at me funny, and I said, I need to hear from you that you're really willing to answer to the people for these, you know, the rest of the prophecies. They're going to come to you because there's no Wolf now. And I said, I want you to take this chapter and go home and read it and let me know if it's okay to go ahead and publish. Well, almost a year went by. And meanwhile, I had edited most of the book. And finally, I didn't hear from him, so I called. And I said, okay, what about this chapter in Twilight of the Gods? And our Hopi friend said, yeah, it's okay. You know, we told you it's okay. I said, nope, not good enough. And there was a big silence, and then I got it. Okay, Shoshana, I'll be here for the people. I said, okay, thank you. Now we can publish. In the meanwhile, it occurred to me that because there's a whole lot about the Mayan calendar, there's a whole lot about Hunbutzmen in the book, that I should take Kunbutz a copy of the book and ask him to read it and do the review in the front, or do the foreword for the book, and he said that he would. So I left a copy of it there. He works very closely with he now has the Hokomaya University, which is I gotta read it from right straight from the book. It's Yok, Y-O-K, with the thing, H-A-H-M-A-Y-A. It's the Cosmic Initiatic University of Yokomaya, Merida, Yucatan, Mexico. It's the sacred knowledge and hidden practices of the ancient Maya. And I was fortunate and honored in being one of 16 people who sat in the classes with Hunbutz as our teacher for 8 days. 2 of those days we went out to sacred sites. We went to Ishmael and we went to Chichen Itza, the two pyramid sites. And then one of the days, the 9th day, was our graduation from the particular university class. We studied things, and he's going to be doing these on a regular basis, and I want people to know this. Unbelievable. There really, really, really was an unveiling of the Mayan mysteries. They make so much sense, Otter. The whole thing is based on scientific knowledge and numbers. It's all mathematics.
They're amazing.
Absolutely amazing.
I don't think I've told our audience about what I found out about Mayan calendar. And when I came back here to Utah in March 2006, I got back together with my old buddy, Chief Robert Three Eagles. And, Robert had, of course, you know Robert. You know Robert and
oh, sure.
Three Eagles and Ghost got together. Anyway, there was an Aztec elder I can't remember if it was a Maya or Aztec. I just can't remember his name right now. But anyway, he'd been chased out of Mexico, and he'd come up here and been teaching Robert some things. Anyway, he'd written a book about Mayan astrology. And Robert knew fluent Spanish because he kind of grew
You're
up there.
You're fading out, Otter. You need to speak up.
And anyway, Robert translated this book, and what he would do was translate your birth date into your Mayan birth date. Mine was 9-Eek. Well, I found out here recently that that prophecy I was given back in 1998, that's been on my website for years. It says that I received this on the spring solstice of 98. Well, I found out here recently that the spring solstice of 1998 was the beginning of the week of 9-Eek. So, yeah, it got my attention. And I advise people to pay close attention to the Mayan. Anyway, I'll shut up. Hey, listen.
We're going to go into the message from the elders there and after the break.
Before we do, I'm going to do the break a little bit different. I'm not going to run the because in the interest of time, because it's precious here. I do want to talk about Secrets of an Immortal by Ben Abba. They've been our kind sponsor here for many weeks. Secrets of an Immortal. What if you met a man who was 2,800 years old? What questions would you ask him about history, religion? Would you want to learn his secrets of immortality? I went looking for the oldest person alive on Earth today. I wanted to find out from them what they eat and what did they do to accomplish such a long and healthy life. To my absolute shock, I located and made contact with a man whose real physical age is nearly 2,800 years old. Would you like to know more about the story on how I found such a remarkable man and what stories he had to tell about the unwritten history of our Western civilization? Ben Abba is writing a series of books to detail this man's life, his experiences, and his secrets of immortality, starting with book one titled Secrets of an Immortal, an eyewitness account of 2,800 years of history. And you can find out more about that at secretsofanimmortal.com. And now we are back to Shoshana. Take it away. I guess, Shoshana, are you there?
Yeah, here I am.
Okay, we're done with it. Go ahead and turn the time back over to you.
Okay, hold on. I lost my glasses. Okay.
Gotta find your eyes, huh?
I had to take off my sweater, my heavy sweater. I'm layered up here like four layers deep, and I took off a layer, and all of a sudden I couldn't find my glasses, and you're calling for me. All right, the message first of all, I just wanted to real quickly run down the curriculum of the lessons that the courses that we got with Humbutzman. The origin of Mayan people, the history of Mayan mysticism, Mayan glyph writing, the Mayan mantras and the flow of energy, the mystic language, the pyramidal position of the human body, the Maya social system, Zuyua as a Maya mystery. I can't say it, but I know a little bit about it. The Maya cosmic calendars, projection and harmony within the cycles of time. Sacred Mayan geometry, the human body as a duality of energy. Maya sexual education, the chakras as generators of life. And the deities of Maya cosmology and the movements of our body required to get harmonized. And with this harmonization thing, I'm going to tell one little story, and then I'm going to talk about the message of 2012, about 2012. We were at Ishmael, and there's only one pyramid there that you're allowed to walk up, and it's in the way in the background, and I can't even tell you the name of it right now. I was just too in awe of the surroundings to be able to take in and retain any of the words that went along with these things. I was just, I was in an awesome state, and I liked it there. suffice it to say, we came upon this pyramid where people were running up and down the steps, or walking up and down the steps, and some of them breathlessly, I might add. And Hunbat said, now anybody who wants to can go on to the top there, take your cameras, it's a beautiful view, you can see forever. And those of us who would like to can sit here under the tree for a while. So we sat down, I sat down under the tree. I'd been sitting in front of my computer for 4 years here without, you know, really moving very much. And my legs were just not wanting to get up and down on pyramids. When we first got to Merida, I learned how to walk again. I learned how to really hightail it up and down the streets, doing what my friend Lee calls what a woman is supposed to do, hunting and gathering. And that's called shopping. Anyway, but I finally got my legs up under me. I mean, I hadn't really done any walking except 12 steps in any of the directions here in this tiny little house I'm in. So I was not willing to make a try at it, and I sat down under the tree with Hunbat and several others. One of the women, as we're sitting there, all of a sudden started breathing real heavy, and all of a sudden she just blurted out, and she screamed and started to cry, and she said, "My God, oh my God, I died right there," pointing to the front of this very steep pyramid staircase. And she just went into almost convulsions. I mean, she was having a past life experience and obviously got what she needed from being at that pyramid. It was beautiful. It was painful for her, but she walked away from there a free spirit. And as we're sitting there, Hunbat said, now when we leave, we're going to walk over and down this little path, and we're going to have to walk across that step that goes all the way across the front of the pyramid. About a third of the way up the pyramid. We're going to have to walk across that to the middle and then walk down. So if anybody has a problem with that, I don't know what to tell you. I said, oh my God, I don't think I can walk down those steps. You know, the pyramid steps are, they're of a funny configuration. They're the height and what have you is not made for our feet and knees and legs. So I thought, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I thought, well, I know what, I'll just plop my little butt down and I'll just butt my way down those steps. Okay? So we walked across, and somebody held my arm. The old acrophobia was starting to set in, the fear of heights. And I got about halfway across, and I sat down right smack dab in the center, what would be the center of the stairway, of the step, the center being, you know, the center line running to the top of the pyramid. I sat my little behind down on that step. And otter, all of a sudden, there was a crack of lightning, and I sat bolt upright and said, oh my God, oh my God. And I bumped my way all the way down to the rest of the steps, and I stood up, and my injured back, where I've had pain for 20 years, was no longer. I was able to step out and walk from there and walk as fast as I chose, no pain, absolutely got a healing top to bottom, and it remains to this day. That was profound. Out of pain for the first time in 20 years. So now I want to go on to the message from the elders. The big question, of course, that all of us arrived in Merida with Hunbat, the big question we arrived with was, what in the world is happening with 2012? You know, what does the calendar really say? What can we really expect? And every day somebody would say, well, Hunbat, what about the 2012? And he would say, well, we'll get to that. And when he got to that, he had in his hand a message from the Grand Maya Itza Council, the new cycle of Maya.
While she's looking for that, I just want to tell folks, since you come back from down south, you're suffering from George. Well, they talk about Montezuma's revenge, but you got this. I was going to call it George Bush's revenge, because it didn't come up until after you got back, right?
No, it didn't. It started in L.A.
Oh, okay.
What I really think it is you know, I'm suffering from an influx of the intake of chemtrails from three different locations. All up
George Bush's revenge.
Yeah, well, it's the, you know, from Los Angeles chemtrails down to Houston, to the airport there for several hours, and then down to Matadon. And in that time, you know, in one day's time, both going and returning, I was exposed to three different toxic soups of chemtrails. They're not all the same, you know. So I think that that's what happened. I really am not sure, but hold on. Let me get a little sip of coffee. Thank you for explaining that this is not all cigarette cough. On the BBS website, Otter posted just a few minutes ago an announcement from the Grand Maya Itza Council regarding their full moon ceremony calendar. And here is what they have to say. I'm going to read just a little bit of it for those who are not on the website at the moment. The Grand Maya Itza Council feels proud to distribute this list of sacred sites to all initiates and workers of the light from all around the world. These sites must be used to do the work of returning to the Great Spirit in order to prevent our Mother Earth from the unfortunate events foreseen to happen in the year 2012. We, the Maya Itza people, are very aware of the bad news and disasters that are going to occur in the year 2000, as foreseen by many people. According to many of them, the world will come to an end due to phenomena like the ones mentioned in the apocalypse of the Christian Bible. We, the Mayans, who have not been cultured by Western culture, do not agree with all the negative things our sacred calendars have been involved in. This is the main reason why we were distributing this list of sacred sites where we are planning to do our spiritual work. And the bottom line of this, Otter, is in order to counteract all this negativity, the Mayan are asking all of us to please go to work and work with these sacred sites on the full moons. They have given us a calendar with the name of a sacred site, and we're to locate it on a map and in consciousness using the ceremony that is outlined in their message here on the website. And will be outlined on other pages on Prophecy Keepers and what have you. Where each full moon we are to concentrate on a sacred site that is listed on this full moon cycle calendar. And in the doing of that, many of us concentrating on the same site will bring back to life the sacred sites around the world, and there are 52 of them that the Maya feel are the most important. And as we bring them back to life, the negativity that has been cast all over the planet by the people saying that the world is going to end in 2012 and that the Mayan calendar's fault, we will be able to counteract all of that negativity. And as Hun Butzman said, if we don't do this, our Mother Earth is going to die. Very simple. We have to bring the light back to the planet, and this is one way that we can help. So we'll be posting the calendar with the sacred site names and the dates and all of that. I think, Otto, you're going to be putting it up in a little while. Is that true?
Yeah, by the time most people hear this, we'll be there, or they can come back to bbs.com/prophecykeepers, and it'll be there.
Okay, good. This is most important, and what he said is this message is not coming from him personally. This message is they've had council meetings. The Mayan elders have had council meetings and attempted to figure out what it is that must be done in order to counteract all this negativity. And there's no way in the world, he said, that we're going to stand out there and say, you know, you said it wrong, and you said it wrong, and you said it wrong. No, 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 no. He said that doesn't work. What we need to do is go about fixing it. And this will begin the fixing of it. And it will take 52 weeks. It will take from November 13th, when we have the first full moon ceremony in Nevada, down all the way each month, not 52 weeks, 52 months. And it began November 13th, 2008, And it will end on December 28th in 2012, and that's 52 months.
Begins when?
It began last month, in November 13th.
Huh.
Just bring that one into consciousness to bring yourself up to date. You can do that any time. You know, the time that we do this doesn't matter if we tune into the energy of the situation. So we're asked to take an hour from 1 hour a month out of our lives and do the things that are suggested in the meditation instructions. And he said, if there are not five of you, that's okay. If there's one of you, simply do what you can do. Do what it is you can do. There are those who have four or five people in their circle that would be able to perform the ceremonies specifically the way they're outlined. But if there's just the one of you or two of you, just do what it is your heart shows you to do, and it will be perfect. Okay. Now, what else, Mr. Otter?
Let's see. What was on the schedule here for tonight? We talked about the, the moon calendar ceremonial schedule. So did you cover it all?
Well, you know what? I think we're getting there. Do you have any questions? I'm talking so fast, Otter. I don't even know what I said.
Let's invite people to call in, okay? If you're in the United States or Canada, let's say if you're in the United States and you want to call in and ask Shoshana a question, call 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And if you're in Canada, call 888-815-9756. If you've got any questions about these messages from the Grand Maya Itza Council. And while we're waiting for a call, if we get one, I want to tell about the experience that I had back in, I guess it was about 1996, I don't know, somewhere around in there, Klimbot started doing the Mayan solar initiations.
Yeah.
And probably 94. Yeah, it was. Okay. And anyway, I had a remarkable manifestation. I went out, and of course you go out and read the Dawn Star, but I got to watch a baby lamb being born.
Wow.
Right as the time rolled by. It was absolutely amazing. And, he came out of his mother, you know, right on the crack of dawn, just as the first, it was amazing. And then, I saw a picture of the way Hunbat's men prayed, you know, crossing his arms.
Yeah.
And making a certain gesture with his hand. The first time I tried that, it was the power that I felt surge through me was amazing. So, once again, folks, we'd love to have you call in. And if you're in the United States, call 877-876-5227. In Canada, call us at 888-815-9756.
There is something else I can talk about.
Sure, go ahead.
And it's the Cosmic Initiatic University of Yokomaya.
Right.
They have a full curriculum now, which includes the things that I just read off to you. They have they're a 501c3. Oh, what I left out is Hunbat's is going as this Lowell Bay, the ceremonial grounds, where we went about 70 miles between Merida and Cancun. He's going to build a pyramid there, and on his website he has a model of the pyramid that he's going to build, and I understand that is going to be begun very, very soon. He's going to build the roadways within the next couple of months. He's going to build the roads coming into it.
Wow.
And what he says is, you know, he smiles and he is so gentle and so real. I mean, down to earth, unflappable. And however, there's one thing I do want to say about him, and that's that if he doesn't know, if somebody asks him a question and he is not really up on what the answer is, he flat out says, I don't know. But that's something we can go investigate together. In the meanwhile, he will be building a pyramid there, and he's going to need helpers. There, it's approximately 400 acres, I guess, the land that he's on there.
Wow.
And he'll be building a spiritual community. There are remnants of buildings left there. One is he's going to use for the prayer and meditation, which is up on a little rise, and it's perfect for grabbing the sunlight with big glass enclosed rooms and things, or not even glass, you know, just open air, like they have many of the rooms down in the Yucatan. But there are several buildings that are kind of falling down. They're relics. They're almost ruins, not quite, but they're going to reconstruct those and build more. And it's going to take a lot of elbow grease on the part of a lot of people. And in the Mayan tradition, there are 20 families. I'll tell this part. There are 20 families in a community, and there are 400 communities in a greater community. Each of the 20 family communities has a council, and it includes one member from each of the age groups, from 1 to 7, 7 to 14, 14 to 21, 21 to 28, and on up to as high as it goes, okay? As high as there are elders in the group. And that council makes the decisions for the individuals in the group. If you want to marry, if you want to date, if you want to do something different from what it is you're doing, you come to the council and you bring them your story, and they help you decide what it is you're going to do. And it's always chosen, the answers are always chosen as what's best for the community. Well, they used to have wars between the larger communities, the 400, the 20 times 20, the communities of 400. They used to, 400 families, they used to have wars. And they would arrange a war with that one over that group over there. And this war would be planned for a long time, and it was a festival along with it. And it was hand-to-hand combat and no weapons. And it was whoever won cut off the hair of the person who lost. And then he got to bring that person whose hair he'd cut off home with him. And that person then would have to help with building pyramids or doing whatever was needed to be done in the community until his hair grew out or her hair grew out. They had women's and men's wars.
That sounds almost like what President Obama's going to be doing here in the United States. You hear rumors, you know.
but let me go forward here.
But you know what? Go ahead.
This is all well documented and what have you. At least in the Mayan culture, it is. I don't know how well documented it is in the archaeological anthropological communities.
What are
they? This is the truth of the Mayan social culture. But what would happen then is as these people came back across the land to work in a different community, the gene pool was fixed.
Yeah.
It was all about the gene pool. It was all about not intermarrying within your own community. It was always about waiting until one of those warriors from way across the land came over here with his cut hair and had to hang around a while and falling
mm-hmm.
in love. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all about mixing up the gene pool, and I
sounds like something the Cherokees would do because we lived by those people for a long time.
Right. Anyway, it's you know the nature of the people in order to figure that out is pretty wonderful. You know how brilliant they were.
By the way, folks, if you'd like to know more about the Cherokee Nation of Mexico, of which I am considered to be a member, and we do not have cards. If anybody asks you for a card, we don't have them. Anyway, you can check out CherokeeDiscovery.com. You can read about how the Cherokees migrated back and forth and lived alongside the Maya.
Wow.
Thought I'd give you a breather there.
Wow, thank you. This has been a real honor, Otter. Let me think. What else? Anyway, the university there is...
Don't let her fool you, folks. In real life, she's my boss.
What? I'm your boss.
I said, don't let her fool you. We worked together and realized she's my boss. So.
Yeah. Well, I bossed you around a lot, but that doesn't make me your boss.
Oh, no.
There's a big difference, honey. Did you ever see me sign your paycheck? No.
Uh-uh.
No, that would make me your boss. I'm teasing you now.
Oh, yeah, you bet.
There are such beautiful people. I'll talk a little bit about the people who came to our to the whole event. There's a woman by the name of Lenny, who is a PhD archaeologist who's working closely with the Hokomaya University. She's the international director, and Humbutzman is the Mexican director of the school. There's a woman by the name of Patricia Morris Cardona, and she has a website called CosmicMysteries.com. Patricia has spent many years transcribing on discs the Mayan solar education, the oral teachings of Humbutzman. They're in disc, and I don't know if they're on disc or not, but I know that they are in hardcover. She has translated some 10 or 12 years of his work. Not translated it, but transcribed it. Her husband was with us, and his name is unknown to me at the moment. I can't find my little sheet. Catherine was with us from San Jose, a good friend of yours, Otter, and mine.
That's right, Catherine Dickel. Hey, listen, just keep talking until Don takes us off the air. It might be another 3 minutes.
Okay. So I'm just going to all of a sudden fade off into the wilderness like that.
That's right.
Oh, my. There were three people there from Japan. One couple has been studying with Humbutzman for 13 years. They have a Mayan mystery school in Japan. They have over 300 students. There was a gentleman by the name of Kai Chi from Japan. And Kai Chi and the other couple had their videos going 24 hours a day. So all of this has been immortalized in digital, along with the sound. And I'm sure along the way there will be DVDs and all sorts of, you know, wonderful information coming from them. But Kai Chi is a calendar maker from Japan, and he took the findings of Humbutzman. He took the date that Humbutzman gave him 3 years ago, saying Humbutz told him this is the date that the Mayans started the calendar. You know, check it out, Kai Chi. See if I'm right. Kai Chi did the calculations from today all the way back 26,000 years through the astronomy. And he came to the classes saying, it's perfect! It's perfect! The day the Mayan calendar was started, the configuration in the heavens will be returning to us sometime before the year 21,000, and I'm not sure what the year is, but the beginning of the new cycle. And at that point, as Humbutz said, this is not the death of anything, it's the beginning of something very, very beautiful and very new, because the astronomy will be the same for one day as it was 26,000 years ago.
Wow.
And Kai Chi was able to pin it down to a certain day. He's got on his computer, he's got these incredible pictures of the heavens and all of the movement and what have you of the planets. The Mayan have 57 calendars.
Prophecy keep. Service of the White Roots of Peace Council, whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine men of the Americas, the holy people of Africa, or the present-day Ottawahees of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times, from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Levant, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.